Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
PP Herder.
Blood Puddle.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
He butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And now, 96.9 FM WYIR proudly presents Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com. And we have a special guest today, so we can't tell too many EvansvilleIceman.com jokes.
That's right. Jeff Walker is in the studio with us. Some of you may remember Jeff
yes.
was our MC. He was the Stephen Rickard before Stephen Rickard was Stephen
Rickard. He is the man that made Stephen Rickard what he is.
Yeah. When we were at Swanner, Steven was doing what Tommy's doing now, and Jeff was doing what Steven's doing now. So Jeff is here joining us in studio as an audience member, but we do have a special guest who will be the subject of this week's episode. You may have heard of him. His name is Petey.
Yes.
How'd you get a hold of that one? Did you talk to Coach Sims and Johan and those guys?
I pay attention to Iceman Live. John Peterson, the new broadcaster for the Evansville Icemen, the best broadcaster in franchise history, not named Derek Benigni.
I agree with that 100%. I got the nickname Beaner, so I think Petey's better
Beaner.
Than
that
yeah,
one.
Beaner.
Yeah, that one you got to be careful with, too.
That's what I got from Pyle was Beaner.
So obviously Petey is just
Beaner,
taking your last
name. Beaner, stop swearing on the radio.
Yeah.
Have you ever been Petey before, or is this
yeah,
new?
Yeah, the last time I was Petey was senior year of high school football. The coach called me Petey, and it just stuck.
Was it
in college, I went back to just my normal name. But
do you see it as wonderful or derogatory?
I like it. I mean, I think of all the jokes from the movies, like American Pie 2, I believe, when he's at band camp, he's playing the trombone, and they call him Petey. They think he's Petey. If you know what scene I'm talking
there's
about.
There's not much from that movie we can talk about on a Christian radio station.
Yes, you're right. No, I don't mind it, but it's kind of weird when front office members call me Petey, so we'll stick with John. But the coaching staff, I guess, can call me whatever they want.
Yes, they can.
Whatever you say,
they will.
Whatever you say, Petey.
John Peterson joining us. He is originally from Minnesota, voted Minnesota's Mr. Hockey back in 2009. So quite the resume you bring to the Evansville Icemen.
Yeah. Well, I wish. It's a cold state. As everybody knows and makes fun of, my accent comes out every now and then, especially with my O's. So I try to knock that one out as quickly as I can. Try to develop maybe a Kentucky Southern accent to make up for it.
Good luck
with
that.
Just say y'all a lot. Yeah. next Iceman Live, howdy y'all.
Yeah, howdy y'all. Maybe it will start off. I think Brian's done that a few times, so I'll have to take a page out of his book.
He's not doing it ironically, though. That's just how he talks.
That's just how he talks normally, yeah.
So where in Minnesota are you from?
Stillwater, Minnesota, a town about 15 minutes east of St. Paul. I'm right on the border of Minnesota, Wisconsin. Hmm. And I grew up on the ice when I was 3, I think was the first time I wore skates. And I've been obsessed with hockey ever since.
Nice.
Hmm. Did you play as a kid?
I played all the way up through Pee Wee's. I was a goalie. The year before my first year of Bantams, I grew from 5'3" to 6'3", and my weight didn't shift at all. And so, if you can imagine a 150-pound, 6'3" goalie, it's just a hilarious sight to be seen. Had to get all new pads, but pads aren't cheap.
No.
So, mom and dad said, "Hey, John, you're pretty tall. You want to try basketball?" And for your pocketbook, I suppose. But yeah, I loved hockey. It was my favorite sport, but can't really fix that growth spurt. So I tried basketball and football is what latched on.
Hmm.
But hockey's always been the favorite.
So what about your family? Are you an only child? You got brothers, sisters?
Oldest of three, and then I have two step-siblings that are sandwiched in between. So we literally go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 back-to-back-to-back years. And I'm the oldest of the five. So it's interesting.
So you're the man in charge.
I'm the man in charge. I'm the favorite, I like to say.
Yes.
I can do no wrong. No.
Are you the biggest, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, no, my brother, I think, has me now. He has me in height and weight, so.
Those younger brothers.
I don't want to. Yeah, he's the youngest of the five, so I don't want to pick a fight with him.
So you leave Minnesota. You went to Arizona?
Arizona State for 4 years. I'm a
that
Sun Devil.
Hockey hotbed of Arizona State University. But
well, now,
we'll talk a little bit about that program. They've put a great little program together.
Yeah, well, that's where I got my start. So I broadcasted club hockey my senior year. I was the sports director of our campus radio station. No, we've never done ASU hockey. It's always been football, basketball, baseball. And I brought up the idea, hey, what if there's some transplants from Minnesota and Chicago that are going to school here that are at the radio station, which there was five or six of us that love hockey. Why don't we give them a shot to do play-by-play for the club hockey team? I mean, it doesn't cost us anything. We just go out there and do it. And everyone seemed to be cool with the idea. And so I tried my first hockey game, and everyone said, all right, well, you need to stop doing baseball and football because hockey is what you're meant to broadcast. So it kind of sparked something in my head because I love the sport as it is. And stuck with hockey. Moved home because there was obviously no hockey in Arizona other than the Coyotes. And
so there's no hockey in Arizona.
Hey,
so
they're actually playing pretty well.
That's true, yeah.
Domi and Duclair, they're coming on.
And I interned with the Coyotes actually my senior year.
Oh, cool.
So it was cool to just be involved in hockey.
And then you went back home and ended up with the Wild.
Yes. Went home, did 3 years of high school hockey on the Canadian border, which
nice.
A town of 2,000 people, a tiny one, two stoplights, three hockey rinks in town.
That's my kind of town.
And 3 years there and decided I wanted to move closer to family in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and got a job with the Wild selling season tickets. So it was in broadcasting for the junior team in Austin, Minnesota. So it was kind of nice to parlay those two jobs for a year or two and keep my career rolling and keep improving. And obviously this opportunity came up this summer. So,
yep. And we were talking a little bit beforehand about broadcasting from certain high school rinks and everything else. And in our early days of the Iceman and back in the old AHA days and some of the places you had to broadcast, where you're climbing ladders and hanging out on lofts and everything else. So it can be a lot of fun. And I can imagine being up there near that Canadian border, there had to be some crazy families with some crazy drama in the stands.
Oh, absolutely. And you know how hockey parents can be sometimes. Their kid is going to be the next Wayne Gretzky, and if you tell them otherwise...
Well, look at the Flint Firebirds.
Yeah. The most ridiculous story of the week in hockey is that one. And the funniest part about that story is the owner's son was one of the players who quit, and the whole reason that he fired the coach was because his son wasn't getting playing time.
Yep.
So... just a crazy story, but up there, the people were my favorite part of living up there in that tiny town. They were so welcoming, just like Evansville has been since I've moved here. But they love their hockey. So if you don't know what you're talking about, they will let you know that you do not know what you're talking about.
That's kind of different here. If you don't know your hockey, most people won't know the difference.
Yeah.
There's a handful of people that'll tell you don't know.
We need to stop dumping the puck in the zone. We need to stop doing that.
Yes.
So one of my favorite.
We don't go into the zone. Well, but, if people don't know hockey, all they have to do is talk to Derek, and he'll tell them
a
puck.
This is the blue line.
Yeah.
It works.
We're the educators.
Indeed.
So you were back home in Minnesota, and then probably toward the end of last season, I think the Icemen knew they were going to be moving on from Sean Pooley and in need of a broadcaster. When did the Icemen job get on your radar? How did that timeline work out? Did you – Did you interview remotely? Did you actually come to town and interview? How'd that work?
Yeah, I'll try to make a long story short because I had a relationship going on in Minnesota, and I was trying to figure out if that was worth sticking around for, if I should keep following my dream. Got dumped on the 4th of July, and I was like, there's a sign that I need to keep following my broadcast dream of making it to the NHL someday. So I applied. The only job that was open at the time in this league was Gwinnett, before they became Atlanta. And I had several interviews with them and found out, like the day before I applied for the Iceman job, the day before I saw the posting, that I was their second choice. So they went another direction. The Iceman posting came open, and I applied, and Jim Riggs got a hold of me right away, and he said, two questions. First of all, I'm impressed with your broadcast demo. I want to hear more about your sales experience. Tell me about it, because it's a sales inclusive job. And the other question was, how did you hear about this job posting? Because we never sent anything out. And the sports talent agency I'm a part of somehow got wind of it. I don't know how, and posted the listing, and that's how I heard about it. So it was just kind of a weird phantom job posting that the Iceman office never sent out that I applied for. And Jim flew me down here, and I interviewed in town, and I saw the town and looked at some apartment options. And at that point, I kind of had a pretty good feeling about it. And then they offered a few days later. So
wow,
yep.
Talk about a quick change. It was whole life.
Yeah, and obviously it was an easy yes for me. I mean, all my
family's in Minnesota. So did you send a thank you card to the ex saying my life is awesome now because you are gone?
She, you know what? The funny thing, I don't have anything bad to say about her, and she actually listened to the home opener. Which is so weird. We're on good terms, and she
it's news to you.
I don't like to burn bridges, and obviously I was into her, and it wasn't reciprocated, but that worked out great for me because now I'm here. And and when I had my first, I promoted on Facebook. I had, the Iceman home opener against Indy. Tune in on our website. My family tunes in. My best friends tune in. And all of a sudden, she sends me a Snapchat of her listening to the game. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool, I guess. So everything works out for a reason.
Yes,
it's,
it does.
She's crazy.
She wants you back.
No, it's not going to happen. Sorry.
So when you came down, did they take you over and show you the Ford Center?
Yeah, and obviously I was impressed. For a minor league arena to be as awesome as the Ford Center is.
City did an amazing job.
I've been in a lot of nice arenas just having worked for the Wild, and I toured the University of North Dakota Arena, Ralph Engelstad Arena in Grand Forks, one of the nicest buildings I've ever been in. For minor league hockey, this is pretty tough to beat, so we're lucky.
It's basically a major league quality arena, just smaller.
Oh, absolutely. And I told Jim when he flew me down here for the interview, before I even got the job, I said, that's going to be my playground. That press box is my playground. It's awesome up there. So, I'm very lucky.
So be honest. Before you took this job or before you were made aware of the listing for the job, had you even heard of Evansville?
I had, yeah. A girl that took a job with the Wild's ticket department, who is from, she's not from Evansville, but she's from, I forget the exact town, but she was talking about being from Indiana and some of the towns that she loves in Indiana. And she was from the Predators organization. She left them to take a job with the Minnesota Wild, and that's how I met her. And she was telling me about Indiana and all these different towns I need to go visit, because I literally had never been in the state before Jim flew me down for the interview. So I wasn't that familiar with Evansville. I did my research, but I had heard of it.
So once you got here, your initiation into Evansville was Fall Festival. Did you get to go out to that?
I did.
Sorry, someone should have warned you.
Very interesting experience. Good people watching. Yes. But it was. I tried out way too much food. Had to pretty much fast for a few days afterwards and
cleanse.
Yeah, exactly. Did not try the brain sandwich. A lot of people have tried to talk me into that, but I just am too grossed out by the idea, so I'll probably stay away.
I'm with you there. So you get in, you get the job. I think I've listened to some of the game broadcasts and go back on MixLR and listen to at least the intermission interviews and stuff. Everything's sounding really good. You sound really good. The broadcast quality sounds really good. The interviews have been good. How's it been like working with Travis? Have you ever worked before with the color commentator, or is this the first time sharing the booth?
Yeah, in Roseau, that tiny little town in Minnesota, they had a guy who'd been doing color commentary for 30 years. And when I took over as a rookie right out of college, he stayed doing it, and that was helpful. But in Austin, I never had a color commentator at the last level, so I know how to do it. I'm more familiar without one. But Travis and I get along great. He's so good with technological things, with the streaming getting set up, with the board, with Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all our social media. So it's awesome working with Travis. With MixLR, it's a work in progress. I think it'll honestly be a really good move for us just based on what we had contractually in past years. I think this will be a good move for us, but obviously the sound quality, there's, you know, some bumps in the road with overmodulation, things like that we're trying to figure out, but we're excited about it. And for me personally, on the broadcast side, I'm my biggest critic. So I know exactly what I need to do better and where I need to improve and what I wish I would have said differently, or a goal call that I messed up, or so I'm pretty hard on myself. And then after, you know, I let the game sit and settle, and the next day I wake up and I feel pretty good about it. But the night of the game, I'm usually pretty critical. So it's nice to hear positive feedback every now and then, just, you know, because I always want to improve. I want to get better and keep working on my craft.
Michael already alluded it. To it, I am the greatest broadcaster in Iceman history. I have the hardware to prove it.
Yeah,
I got a
yeah.
championship ring. I've got the medals and yep. everything else. But I already know, listening to a couple of games this year and some of the live shows, that's over with by the end of the year. You guys are so good in that broadcast booth. I mean, it is awesome that finally we have a fantastic voice for the Iceman, and you guys do a great job.
It's
awesome.
You were 10 times better on your first game than the outgoing broadcaster was on his last game.
I've never met the outgoing broadcaster, and I have nothing bad to say because I don't know the man. I heard he's a very, very nice person. So that's all I can go with. But
I haven't been kicked out of Beef O'Brady's yet.
Yeah, there you go. I haven't been kicked out of Beef O'Brady's yet, so that's on my agenda to find a way to get kicked out. Hopefully it doesn't happen anytime soon.
Just talk bad about John Greenwell's Saints.
I almost got that'd get me kicked out. Last night I almost got kicked out for telling the fans that I had to take away one of Nathan Moon's assists from Friday because it was marked wrong. So they weren't too happy with me on that announcement.
You son of a
him being a fan favorite.
That makes tough bus rides too. Mooner's not bad, boy. There's some guys that what do you mean you took my assist away? Nothing I can do.
So who's been your favorite intermission interview so far? I really enjoyed the Randy Lee one was really good.
Yeah.
Corey Cooper was good, too.
The live interviews are always fun because I just wing it. You'd think I'd have questions prepared, but...
You can't tell. Honestly, you sound like you have a list of questions.
Like with Randy, I had a few that I want, like talking points I wanted to get to with him, and he was awesome, and he's so great. He gave me his card afterwards and said, you know... Ask, you know, if you ever need anything from Ottawa, or if you want to send your press releases to Ottawa, we'd love to keep this relationship going from a media standpoint too. Jarrett Lucan was awesome both times I talked to him. The first time was the home opener that was recorded, but he was hurt on Friday, so he was not in uniform, and he came up to the press box and did that one live. And I thought Frenchie, Benjamin Diu de Fauvel,
that was pretty fun.
That was a fun interview for me because he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He's always got a smile on his face, and his English is pretty good. I mean, he's been here long enough where, you can get a good understanding of what he's talking about, and it was fun learning about his ping pong skills because 5 minutes before I interviewed him, he whooped me in ping pong. It was embarrassing. I was like 21-5. So
well, and then you talked about the fights too, and he's like, "Sometimes you gotta stick up for the buddies."
Five or six times a year, not that much. Well, that's 5 or 6 times a year is more than
most guys. Yeah.
In his story about fighting in Greenville, I didn't know that on the broadcast. So I don't know if you listened to the live broadcast, but I thought he got benched because he fought and took an extra penalty, and we were shorthanded for 5 minutes because the other guy got a 2-minute roughing and Benny got a 5 and a 2. And so I'm thinking he comes out of the box in the second period and the coach has benched him. And I didn't want to speculate too much, but I had mentioned that on the broadcast. And then on the bus ride to Charleston after the game, they were all telling me, no, he was hurt.
Yeah.
And said, what can I do to help the team?
That's a cool story.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's one of my favorites.
Tells you what
kind
of player he is.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Nathan Moon is fantastic. He did a game with me as the color commentator, and it's one of the best games. He's you put a mic in front of that guy's mouth, and he's a crowd pleaser.
Do you need a dump button handy just in case?
Nope,
he doesn't?
That
okay.
was
with Derek, you need the dump button
yeah,
with Derek.
And I also had a drunk player on at the end of the year as well. So that
went over well.
That was a lot of fun, to be honest.
Yeah. That's why Derek's not the broadcaster anymore. One of the reasons.
One of many, indeed.
So part of your job, in addition to the game broadcast, is doing Iceman Live. How's that been? Has it been the first time you've done something where you're working in front of a live crowd?
Yes, good question. I as much as I love broadcasting and as comfortable as I am up in the press box, I am nervous, as you can imagine, in front of a group of people. So public speaking is not my forte, which is ironic being a broadcaster, but it's a whole different beast when you're on the radio talking to nobody.
Yep.
Or when you're in front of a group of people. But I've gotten used to it now, and it's the same fans that usually, I mean, and there are a few different ones here and there, but usually it's the same group, and so I've gotten to know them, and it makes it a lot easier. But I'm still nervous before every Iceman Live.
Well, that's got to be tough because those fans have, everybody knows everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So you're, in addition to being the new guy in town, in that sort of an element, you're the new guy. Everybody knows the in jokes and the players and the history of the team and each other, and you're just trying to riff with it.
Well, yeah, like when I messed up Dalton Levier's name the first show, I was like, oh boy, this is not a good start, because everyone's, I said Levay, I think, because that's what the coaches say. So I was just going off of what the coaches were saying, and all the fans were like, no, it's Levier, and don't get that name wrong again.
Yeah.
And so, but I take a lot of pride in getting names right, so I don't blame them. But they're in tune with their Icemen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
yes,
you can't, you know, if the team's 2-5 and you go in there firing away like this is the best team in the league right now, they're going to call you on it. Yeah. So you have to tell it like it is. And that's, it's nice.
It's
to
a
have
tough
that.
Balance because you're an employee of the team.
Right.
So you have to call it like it is to maintain your integrity. But at the same time, you don't want to be throwing the franchise under the bus.
Well,
either.
You still got to sell the product.
Right.
Too.
Right. Yeah. And I'm generally a positive person. And I think, quite honestly, without trying to butter it up more than it needs to be, there are a lot of positive signs, and it's early in the season, and you can't just look at a record and say, well, this
team's terrible.
You know, so it's, and that being said, I am honest with what I say, even if sometimes it comes off as overly positive, I'll tell it like it is. So
Derek can tell you some stories about fans insisting a player's name is pronounced
gosh.
A certain way.
About got run out of town 2 weeks in because I went to Josh Beaulieu and said, how do you want your name pronounced? Is it Beaulieu? Because you would take a lot of pride in that. And he's like, well, actually, it's pronounced Beaulieu because it was French.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you want me to go with that? He's like, well, my parents don't care, but my grandma really likes it. She gets mad if we don't say Beaulieu. So I said Beaulieu for 2 weeks. Holy, I was getting messages and texts and everything else. I'm like, and Josh actually came up to me and said, you can stop calling it right. Just go back to Beaulieu.
I butchered Beaulieu probably 3 times in my first month here. And each time, like the fans were nice to me about it, but you could see across the way, they cringed. And I just was like, oh, I know I just butchered that, but I don't know how to correct it.
It's his own fault. He's got like 47 vowels with a B and an L.
But the
like,
one,
come on.
Right, but the one guy with a retired jersey, like the one one name I should have studied. Yeah. You know, back in Minnesota, before I moved down here, I should have studied that name just to make sure.
Yeah.
Well, and you were talking about it's great to be on the radio. So I get the gig, and stupid bleeping advertising agency says, we got a great idea, we're gonna put you on television. I'm like, I'm a radio guy, I don't have nothing to do with TV. I want to be in the, I told Ron Gary when I interviewed, like, you're gonna put my face on a billboard, I want no part of it. I said, I just want to be a voice off in a distance talking about the product. So, but no, we're gonna put you on TV,
and that went
with
well.
No cue cards.
Yeah,
what a joke.
That's the This Is a Puck that we all joke about. Because it was like Hockey 101 with Derek Benigni, and it was like
almost like Slapshot in the opening scene with the goalie.
Yes, yeah. Except it was me.
Except it was you.
Yeah.
It was like that, just without the accent.
Yes.
So also, Iceman Live, you get to work with the illustrious Brian Vaal.
It's always entertaining. It's a new experience each and every day, and I love it. Brian, some days he's got some things to say about Fort Wayne, and I just sit back and I just absorb it. In other days, it's, you know, stories about Johan's wife's friends dating a indie. I don't know what the story is. Brian does his research on some of those things, so I kind of let him. He does the more personal side when we're interviewing the players and coaches, and I do the hockey side. So it's a good balance.
I think that's the way it should be.
And the safer way, too. Yeah. Stick with the hockey.
Yeah.
So on Iceman Live, how has it been when you don't get – we went through this. We did one episode of Iceman Live together, mm-hmm. and – you get ready, you allow time for questions from the crowd, and it happened this week with Moon. You say, all right, we're going to open it up to questions. Crickets.
It's always fun. you know, I have to go into it prepared for that, and luckily over the course of the weeks I have been, usually all the questions come for the coaches. So our player guests rarely ever get questions, and when it is, it's like one question. So I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen, but with Mooner, I expected a flurry of questions, kind of, just because, you know, again,
he is,
being
the fan
favorite and now being back in town. The nice thing is if you can roll with the punches on the fly and just come up with questions to fill when there aren't anything from the crowd, then it makes it a smoother transition.
Well, the good thing is now, though, with the show being aired on the website, you don't necessarily have to fill X amount of time. You can go in trying. You want to fill 90 minutes, but if you end up a few minutes short, it's not like you're going to be broadcasting dead air on an over-the-air station.
Yeah, I'm a by-the-book type of guy.
That happens here a lot, but...
Like when we finished, there was one Iceman Live where we finished our interviews, all the stuff we needed to talk about by 7 o'clock. It's supposed to be an hour-and-a-half show. And I look at Brian, and I'm thinking, uh-oh. we've got a half hour to go, man. How are we going to do this? We can't just BS our way through a half hour. So I try to be overly prepared just in case, because I'm kind of a by-the-book type of guy. So I want it to be an hour and a half. 7:30, that show ends. Boom, we're 6 o'clock, it starts. I don't know why. It's just a weird OCD thing, I guess. But
Well, and it works out well, too, because when you are in that situation, when you're doing a game or whatever else, then you're prepared for it. But if you're used to the loosey-goosey, well, we're going to take a 20-minute break here, and it's 25-minute, and then come back for 5 minutes, then when you're held to those requirements, you can't process fast enough.
Yeah, and on that note, you know, the totally off topic a little bit, but when I was in Austin, I could take – when we didn't have radio, so some days the radio station would pick up our feed. We used Fast Hockey, which is kind of similar to New Line. There'd be days we wouldn't have radio. We'd go to break for the intermission, and I'd be able to take a 12 to 15-minute break during the intermission because there's no radio to worry about. Yep. But at this level, I don't think you can get away with that, even if you're not on the radio.
No.
Even on our website, I got to be on the air for the whole intermission. So not a bad thing, but I got to limit my water, coffee intake before the game just in case. We had an overtime playoff game last year in Austin. I went 4 overtimes in the championship series. Longest broadcast I've ever had. Went to about 1 in the morning. It was a 5.5-hour broadcast.
Ooh.
No bathroom breaks. And that was fun.
So what have your impressions been? You've been here a few weeks now. You've seen a few home games. Impressions of the fans. They call them Iceman Maniacs for a reason. And cowbells. And
I love their passion. I mean, I do. As a hockey nut, I love the passion, and it's fun to follow. It's interesting to follow the asylum.
Yes,
I should say
is.
Interesting.
It's a good word for it.
Yeah, and you know, the thing I like, and I was talking to some of the fans about this, being a part of the asylum, is when there's an instance like the stick salute from one of those games.
Oh, my goodness.
It's helpful to see stuff like that because – quite honestly, I didn't notice it because I have like a million other things going on in my head up in the press box.
Especially if the game's over with and you're getting ready for the post-game show.
And, you know, the coaches, for that matter, have a million things going on. They're trying to coach the game. They go into the locker room. It's up to the players to remember something like that. And they caught it, too. And I didn't initially, but seeing the asylum, I went back and I talked to the players, and they're like, oh, yeah, we realized it right afterwards, and we're not going to let that happen again. But that's the advantage, I guess, of being in touch with what's going on with the fan base, and I love the passion of this fan base.
I thought it was a bunch of crybaby and myself. Well, we totally stole this from the New York Rangers, but if they don't do it once because they're a whole new team, then we're going to hold them accountable.
So,
Aaron Miller.
We're running out of time, so we're going to talk about upcoming games. The Icemen play 3 games in 3 days this weekend, all on the road at Kalamazoo Friday, then at Wheeling on Saturday and Sunday. Derek can tell John about the Wheeling experience.
Yep, already did.
Experience.
Already we got him all queued up. He's ready to go.
I'm filled in. So now I've heard the worst horror stories you can imagine, and I've heard good stories about Wheeling. So I'm going to go into it with no expectations.
Just don't be the floating body is all that matters.
And then next week, the Icemen return home. 3 home games in 4 days. Alaska, we get our first look at them on Wednesday. And then Orlando Friday, Kalamazoo Saturday. That Friday game is the wall flag giveaway, and then Saturday, Prostate Cancer Awareness Night with specialty jerseys and an appearance by Miracle on Ice Olympian Dave Christian.
Guy.
That's going to be cool.
He's a great guy. I met him a few times when I was up in Warroad and Roseau, because he's from Warroad, Minnesota, so it's neighboring town of where I was. And
isn't that where TJ Oshie's from?
Yes. Yep. And and Dave Christian's nephew, Brock Nelson's, also obviously played up there, and now he's in the NHL. So that'll be fun to have him in town, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him. If not a recorded interview or something, or live up in the press box, but he's a legend.
Awesome.
So it'll be cool to have him here.
That's going to be cool.
Definitely.
And then after that, the annual Thanksgiving road trip. You'll never be home on Thanksgiving because of the circus.
Yep.
And the Icemen are making their first ever trip to Alaska. You looking forward to that?
I am.
Have you been there before?
I've been to Fairbanks through Anchorage, but I only stopped in their airport. And I hear Anchorage is actually a great town. I hear it's similar to a lot of continental U.S. cities, whereas Fairbanks is an interesting place.
That's an Alaska town.
That is an Alaska town. There's not much for me up there in Fairbanks, but I'm really looking forward to Anchorage. I know the guys are, too. Hopefully we can – I think American Thanksgiving, we actually have the day off. So because we get up there Wednesday and get adjusted to the time difference, and we play Friday through Sunday. So I think Thursday we're all planning on something as a team. So that'll be good.
That'll be awesome. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they skate, because I believe they have the big rink up there. They've got the Olympic-sized rink. So
I think so.
So that'll be an interesting test.
Well, we got speed.
Yes, exactly.
So that's good. That'll bode well for us.
And if you can steal a few points from there, that'll make for a great run in the standings for the Icemen early on in the season.
Yep. So time to wrap it up.
We're
out of time.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah. So next show.
I think you are right. December 2nd. I have to go to work next week, so I'm out of town, and then we're not going to do anything over Thanksgiving. So we'll be back December 2nd. He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, webmaster for IcemanManiacs.com. For all your roster news and everything else, you don't need to go to EvansvilleIceman.com. Even if John Peterson is in the studio, you can go to IcemanManiacs.com. And click on the news button and the roster button. I'm Derek Benigni. John Peterson, thank you so much for joining us in studio. It was fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.